Today's daf is daf Samach Gimel. And we begin with another wonderful... Nazir Shegilach, the Nodalo Shehu Tameh. We are about to embark on the journey of Tum'at HaTahom, which we've mentioned very briefly. Let us actually, before we begin the Mishnah, let's just remind ourselves what the din is of Tum'at HaTahom. As it turns out, Tum'at HaTahom is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, and it means that in cases where there is an element of an ex post facto yediyah, such as, there's only two such cases, a nazir who finds out after he's completed his nazirut that he had tuma in the middle of his nazirut. So there, the ex post facto would be mechayev to once again keep his nazirut. Obviously, if a guy ate truma or was nichvas lamigdash, the other issues of tuma, either he did or he didn't. I mean, what's the difference whether he finds out later? There's nothing to do about it anyway. But when it comes to a nazir, he could keep his nazirut again and would have to keep his nazirut again. When it comes to asiyat ha-pesach, if it turns out that the first pesach wasn't kosher because it was tamei, so then he would need to bring a pesach sheni. So there is an ex post facto in those two situations. In both of those situations, we have our halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that defines the nature of a concept called tumat ha-tahom, which is that where something has not yet entered into the milieu of human knowledge. So in other words, we recognize that our responsiveness to the universe is obviously limited to things that are within our world. Until a thing becomes knowable by a human, it's not considered to be part, in terms of these halachas, to be part of the halachic definitions of what was going on. This is a remarkable halach. So therefore, if by definition it's unknowable, it isn't nogea. It's only once it becomes known that it becomes nogea. So here the problem is that it becomes known after the event in question is meaningful. So it comes along halacha to tell us that a yediya of an event that at the time wasn't knowable and therefore was meaningless is itself meaningless. And that does not demand of you changes in behavior, such as re-bringing your carbon pesach or redoing your nazirut. That this is a unique halacha that is said bedavka in terms of mate. Okay? It's only nogea. I mean, that's really only where it's nogea redoing. But therefore, it's the only place where we discovered this remarkable rule. So, if we're going to look for it, it would appear that the halacha was not 100% defined. In other words, the klal in the halacha was this concept of something needing to enter into the milieu of yumi yediyah. Exactly where it applies and so on, that was still given to us to define and to work it out. Now, obviously, if you think about it intelligently, you'll end up with the discovery that there's only these places where you can apply it. Otherwise, it's not Nogea. But the Gemara gradually uncovers the fact that we're dealing with a halacha that we're applying. That's how I believe the sugya is really arranged. Because otherwise, I'll point out to you the things that make so little sense that, I mean, it's outrageous. There's things that we should have known that we didn't know. It's clear that the Gemara is developing our idea from scratch. And then at the end, it takes everything back and puts it all back together again. So in the Mishnah, we have the general rule, and the sum total of this rule goes as follows, that if the Nazir was already Megaleach, now that means, of course, we already know, when we see those words, the Nazir was already Megaleach, we understand that we're going according to Reb Eliezer. Because according to Rabbanan, the Giluach is irrelevant. What it would have had to say is the Nazir already brought his Karbanot, whether it was Megaleach or not, because that's the end of his Nazirut. Okay, that's fine, the Gemara will be Medayik then, we'll see that it's important to understand later. But the Mishnah is going al libet Reb Eliezer, and therefore the definition of the end of the Nazirut is the Giluah. So if he already ended his Nazirut, and at that point he finds out that before he did so, he had been Tameh, Nodalo Shehu Tameh, so in Tuma Yidu'ah, look, if what he finds out is that he was Tameh with a Tuma, the knowledge of which had entered into human reality, so then it's Soter his Nazirut. V'im Tumat HaTahom. However, if it is this new concept of Tumat HaTahom had not entered human reality, so then it's Eino Soter. The reason that it's important for us to discuss this Alibet Reb Eliezer is because it adds a new complication which we're going to need to deal with. And that is, remember Reb Eliezer's Shita is that there is a completely new halacha of Stira where a Tuma occurs Achar Malot. And that's the brilliant tact that Rebbe has here concerning Reb Eliezer. Because according to Reb Eliezer, any tumah, achar malot, the actual tumah, not the idea of the tumah, any tumah achar malot is only 7 days. It requires only to retire, and then you do what you got to do. So the Mishnah, by introducing the fact that it's dependent on giluach, introduces a vast new complication, because the word sotero, eno soter, could be explained as Soter Shiva versus Eino Soter Shloshim, or it could be Soter, Soter Shiva, but Eino Soter at all in the case. So therefore, we've really done a beautiful job, again, of information density, just by throwing in that word Giluach, and now we're opening up a whole new world of the interrelationship between the discovery of the event and the event, and that is an interrelationship that has to be explored, and the Gemara will explore it, even in terms of Tumah Yuduah. That's one level of the issue, because, again, that's obviously a striking thing. Over here, I only find out about something that had happened earlier, but when I find out about it, it's no longer relevant to me because it's all over. So that's one issue that we're going to look into. And then, what is the impact of the very fact that it's a tumah that is not knowable, that all halach of tumah tatom? So Gemara is going to take all of these things and peel them apart, and deal with each one of them separately, and then we'll understand the Mishnah completely.
Is there statutes of limitation for some stuff?
No. So, im tumah yidua soter, tumah tatom eino soter. But, im atchel lo gilach, if, however, you found out about it before the giluach, then ben kach soter, then it wouldn't matter whether it's tumah yidua, then it wouldn't matter whether it's tumah tatom. Now, this is, on the surface, a bit redundant. You just told me, nozish gilach, and only then, no dalo, so then eino soter. I mean, from that I can figure out, the Gemara indeed is going to be medayik from here, additional information. So, Ketza, let me explain to you what this tumat atahom issue is all about. Yarad litvol b'ma'ara, v'nimtza meit tzaf al pi ha-ma'ara. So let's say a guy was going down to be tovel, not from tumat meit. He was with Tomei Sheretz, and he now is going into this ma'ara to be tovel. Now, usually when a guy goes down into a ma'ara to be tovel, he's very careful from tumah. He makes sure he's at a kosher mikveh, nothing tumah is there, doesn't come in touch with tumah. Nonetheless, if nimtza meit tzaf al pi ha-ma'ara, if there was a mate that is found somewhere, I mean, this may be a very large ma'ara, and yet somewhere down in the deep recesses of the water in this ma'ara, we find that there is a body floating, then this person is tameh, because since he was on the surface, when something is on the surface, it's knowable, and therefore it's not considered to be tumat atahom. So that means the knowledge, doesn't have to be actual knowledge, it has to be knowable. Then already it's entered into the world of human knowledge, and it's called Tumah Yidua. But if Nimtza Mishuka Bekarka HaMa'ara, on the other hand, if ultimately we find that there was a mate that was here in the mud, beneath the surface of the water, in the Karka of the Ma'ara, or in a place where he could have walked in the Ma'ara, so then we need to discuss what the situation was. Yorad Lahaker Tahor. If the guy had gone to cool down and just wanted a nice cool ma'ara and a dip in the water in the ma'ara on a hot summer day, so then he did not become tameh from something that had not entered into the world of human knowledge. That is to say, in terms of ex post facto knowledge, he did not become tameh. But anything that would be nogea from this point on would be treated the same way every suffix tuma is treated. But ex post, so remember, there's a fascinating combination over here of two issues. The relevance of the question, that is to say, is the question something that has to do with the past or has to do with the future? And the knowability of the event at the time. So put those two things together. The event is unknowable at the time because it's bitahom at the time. And indeed, the fact that something unknowable occurs only after the event, and therefore is only nogea now how to deal with the past and not with the future. Put those two things together, and in the two cases where it's relevant, which is, do I need to bring a new carbon Pesach, so it's been okay a Pesach Sheni, and do I need to redo my Nezirut, so it's Nogea Nezirut, in those cases, the halacha is that we ignore it. But where do we ignore it? Only where you had gone down to cool off. But suppose you had gone, and that's the nature of cooling off over your wife. Who cares if you go to cool off? Before we said, even if you go down to become tar from a sheretz, that's true. It is irrelevant whether you went to cool off, la halacha, or whether you went to become tahar from keri or from sheretz or whatever. The only reason that it says over here to cool off is to teach me a chiddush, that despite the fact that you weren't thinking at all about tumah, and therefore you wouldn't have been sensitive to looking around if there's a mate there or not, it's irrelevant. Whereas in the previous case, it's telling us a chiddush, even though you were going to become tahar and therefore were sensitive to tumah, probably looked around and so on and didn't see a mate saf up the amai, that nonetheless we have to be chiddush. Over here it's saying, even though you weren't even thinking about the mate, but since it wasn't begalui and it was buried in the tahom, it wouldn't be nogea, even la'aker.
Where is it nogea that you were tameh from before? Not where you were tameh from sheretz or keri or something, but when you were tameh tumat mate, if you were already tameh tumat mate, and now you're saying you went to a mikvah in a ma'ara, and in that ma'ara there was tumat atahom. No, there tumat atahom doesn't help you. Why doesn't it help you? Because there you enter into a completely different level of safek. There, the knowledge is that you're tameh. You were tameh. That's a given. Now the question is whether you ever became tahor. Now, if you were in a mikveh in which you were over a mate, forget about it. There, we need to deal with the givens in the human world, which is that you're tameh, and say that you did something about them. And there is very no geah, whether it's ex post facto or not. Were you mitaher or not? So in that case, if you were yoreh the taher mitumat mate, then it doesn't help you to go to a mikveh, even though the only problem with the mikveh was the fact that there's a dead body there that nobody knew about. Because in that case, you're tameh. Shecheskat tameh tameh, vecheskat tohor tohor, sheraglayim ledavar. Now, the words sheraglayim ledavar are very confusing. Raglayim ledavar, actually, we're going to see, and it's going to be a theme in this parak, is an introduction to sota. And Sota begins with Raglayim Ledavar. Very weird continuation from Masechet Nazir. It means very different things. Raglayim Ledavar, in cases of Kinui Vestira, or in cases that we'll see later on, is a concept of there's a lot to be suspicious about. Now, over here, that's an absurd explanation. There's nothing to be suspicious about. So Raglayim Ledavar, in this case, means the Pashtas, the way that the Mefarshim explain it, is that all it's trying to say is, and that itself is very suspicious, speaking of Raglayim Ledavar, that all it's trying to say is, well, there's good grounds for us to say that the halacha as given of Tumat HaTahom would not apply in a case where there's already a cheskas Tuma. Because usually we define the halacha in terms of the chazaka. Why would we change it with the Tumat HaTahom? But in this case, if we consider the explanation of Tumat HaTahom that we just offered, did you use that machine? Yeah, you look much better. Yeah, you really look better. You came in here looking actually alive. Yeah. How do you like that? All we need is to get oxygen into him at all times. No, I mean, well, we should have some oxygen tanks in here. When he walks in, we put it in and he's okay. Okay. That's great. That's true. So, but taking into consideration the way that we've discussed Tumat HaTahom, Raglayim Ledavar could mean exactly what it means by Sota, but in a slightly different usage. Raglayim Ledavar means, indeed, there is what to be suspicious about. But what that means in this case would be, not that there's better grounds, but rather there's grounding. That's the Raglayim Ledavar. In other words, if the issue has not entered into human concerns, then it's Tumat HaTahom. You cannot tell me that a person who's already tummy has been defined by a cheskas tuma, you can say that it doesn't enter into human concerns whether he's become tahar. Then it's a whole different issue. Then the question of what happens, the fact that there's a mate over here, is definitely part of his concerns because he's looking for needing to get out of an existing situation. So then even something that happens years later is going to be nogea him exactly as it was at the time. Oh my gosh, you mean nothing ever changed? This, you take a look at it even in terms of human psychology. This is when you're in a particular matzav, you think you got out of the matzav, and then suddenly you realize nothing's really changed. It's a completely different discovery than thinking about what has happened to you, right? It's a common theme in literature and the way human beings think. So therefore, Raglayim Ledavar can mean, literally, Raglayim Ledavar. But as I say, this is my own interpretation. It's not the way the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah. But clearly, some explanation needs to be given on why we would use this weird Raglayim Ledavar as an introduction to Sota in the middle of Nazir, where it's really irrelevant.
The whole issue the only way you could know is eventually something comes floating
right.
up.
That's right.
Otherwise, I mean, if you're paranoid, you could think any place you go to has true. The possibility of what.
Yeah, but you know when those paranoid thoughts end up being true, you say, I knew it. That's the point. Exactly. So at what point does it become paranoid? Where nothing has happened and you're afraid it will happen. But where it already
happened and you don't know it.
No, but where you know it, that's the case. You know it happened. Yeah. In other words, you know you became Tomei.
Yeah.
So now you're thinking, what are the circumstances that I need to change that situation? And then when you discover that it didn't change, then you say, I knew it. And there's reasons to say I knew it. That's the regla in the davar.
Even if nothing is found, we go through life thinking maybe there was...
That's only the people who have Jewish guilt. No, but seriously, when you say I knew it in this case, that's the regla in the davar. Right? There's the psychological response. I knew it. I was always going to be this way. I thought we'd finally get out of this situation. I knew it. It wouldn't work. Right? That's exactly the way we say it.
Is there a sense of being immobilized and still in the same state with lying with other? Because you don't change. That's just coming.
I don't know. Nobody offers that possibility of the explanation. And the truth is, we cannot ignore it. There's a retzef here. From this point on, through Sotah, it's almost as if we're involved in the same issue. Because remember that Sotah is the source of the whole halach of Safek Tumah versus Rav, Safek Tumah versus Hayochid, right? It is not a coincidence that Nazir, which is intimately connected to Sotah, should be dealing with all of the dinim of Sfeikot Tumah just as we're approaching the transition into Sotah. I mean, it's insane. We're going to raise over here, in the middle of Masechet Nazir, all of the issues that really are the strange limitations that are all weird, halakha l'moshe m'Sinai, that don't seem to make all that much sense of where it's considered to be a suffix that matters, where it's not. Is it Birshus Rabim? Is it Birshus Hayochid? Is it something that is known by people? Is it something that's floating? Or is it something that's not floating, which we're going to get to later? Is it a suffix Naga? Is it something that you can ask? You can't ask. I mean, weird kind of things that don't make any sense. And this is exactly where we go into in terms of suspicions in Raglayim Ladavar in Sotah. I don't believe that that's a coincidence. It's beautifully interrelated here. So now, where the Gemara says Minahani Mili, we think at this point that Minahani Mili is an honest attempt to discover the real din of Tumata Tahom from the Pasuk. And since this is said in two places, it won't help you to look at Uncle Art because they never get to this level of subtlety. Since we find this in two different places, The Gemara needs really, in a sense, to talk about those two places, which is Nazir and Pesach. Now here, the Gemara is going to pretend that we're learning Nazir and Pesach out from each other. And I'll talk about that also, because in Pesachim we don't do this, as Tosus points out. But since at this stage the Gemara pretends, okay, where would we get this idea from? So we begin with two limudim, one from Nazir and one from Pesach. And each one is assuming that we could take it as a klal and apply it to the other. Siminani mili. Omar Rabbi Elazar, the Omar Krav, the Yamut Meit Alav Bepeta Pit Om. By the case of the Nazir, it says when the Meit will die on him. What do you mean a Meit dies on him? It's a strange language. Therefore, it's saying, Alav must mean Bimichuveret Lo. When the death of that Meit is clear to him. In other words, it's relevant instantly to him. If it's Betahom, it's irrelevant to him. Reish Lakish Omer. Omar Krav from the Korban Pesach and the Dinim of the Pesach Sheni, ish ki yet amela nefesh o bederech rechoka lachem. What is the strange relationship of Tumat Nefesh to Derech Rechoka? It's so strange. These two things have something to do with each other. So it's telling me that the mate is ki derech. Ma derech begalui, afko begalui. A derech, by definition, is something that is visible. Otherwise, it's not a derech. That's the idea of a derech. Therefore, the mate as well, which is put together with the derech in this pasuk, has to be something that is knowable the way a derech is knowable. Ella, says the Gemara, if that's the case, if we're really going to take for granted that this is the makor of the halacha of tumata tahom, so the Ella haditznan, a zoi tumata tahom kol she'eino makira echad besofa olam. When it says, it really should say the Tanya, because this isn't a mission anywhere. What defines tumata tahom? Only a tumah which is absolutely unknown in this universe. No intelligence is aware of this fact. If anyone anywhere knows or could know of this event, so now look, I mean, bishlema, if you're going to tell me that we learned it out, so then shapir. Kiderech, derech means that, it doesn't mean that I have to know where this highway is, but it appears on a map somewhere. That's the idea. Then it's a derech. I may never have gone there. But somebody knows about it. Okay. Yeah, it was known. It entered into the world of human. It's very interesting because this is a modern concept. In other words, in terms of the limitations of the view of the universe, in terms of time space, there are different universes because there are. But this gets very much into a major yisod of relativity. If you exist within an area in which no possible idea could come into this area. Unless it was traveling greater than the speed of light, so then the event has not occurred in your universe. This makes tremendous nafkaminas in terms of the understanding of simultaneity. So if it's unknowable, it hasn't happened. The event simply hasn't entered into time-space. So here, too, it's that type of concept, except on the level of a consciousness. It's not something that, because remember that we include time, space, and consciousness in the definition of universe, which science doesn't take into consideration, but this is the Sefer Yetzirah. It begins with the idea of Ayin Shin Nun. Olam, there's space, Shana, there's time, Nun, and there's Nefesh. So consciousness is a fundamental part of the definition of what a universe is, which, by the way, turns out in many explanations of quantum mechanics as being absolutely true. But it's the consciousness of the event that defines the event within the nature of the universe that you are. It's only classical physics that ignores nefesh completely, not quantum mechanics. But in any event, so over here, where it cannot be part of nefesh, it's not considered to be within that universe. That's the nature of atahom here. Yes, sir?
Simple example of the patent system. You think you have a new idea, you get a patent, but if it's not related to something that's prior art, that's an existing patent, it's not an invention.
Yeah. If it's what? Not related?
It's not related to something that's already been invented. It's not considered an invention. You can't have a patent. It's not. It has to be related to something that's already there to be patentable.
Completely new.
What do you mean?
You cannot submit a patent. Why not? It needs to have prior art. You have to find prior art. It's understood that it must be related to something that's been done. Right? It's been out there in the world.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay, I'm just not familiar with that. It's remarkable. I never heard of it. Anyway, so, but if you're learning, according to the Mandiyama, that it's personally nogea, because Yamut Meit Alav is personally nogea, b'mechuveret lo, so that isn't really the explanation of Tumat HaTom. That's an explanation of something that is personal. So that, what does that have to do with the din of Tumat HaTom? So, Ela Lamandiyama b'mechuveret lo, ki makira achad b'sof olam ayavi. Who cares whether somebody knows? You don't know. Now, that's one problem. The truth is, we should have immediately, and the Rush says this whole thing is mad. Because if we're really serious about this, why didn't we just turn around and say, look, if this is truly a pasuk that is telling you that this is not the tumah that we're referring to, then what's a nafka mina, whether you discovered ex post facto or whether you discovered it in the middle of your nazirut? You've just told me that if it's not b'mechuveret alav, or if it's not kiderech, it doesn't affect you. So obviously this can't really be the makor of the idea of Tumat HaTahom, right? We could have asked that straight off the bat. The Mishnah tells me that Tumat HaTahom only applies in a world that is already in the past. But if it's a world that is in your present, there's no din of Tumat HaTahom. Now where the heck would that come from in analyzing the psukim? So obviously something is coming here that is defining things in a way that is too subtle to get from these psukim. As I pointed out in the Mishnah, Tumat HaTahom is a combination of its not being in the universe at the time, and that when it does enter into the universe, it's irrelevant to that time. It's only now going to have some implication of redoing something, like redoing your Pesach, redoing your Nazirut. But that, certainly, you're never going to be able to derive from the Pesach. Because the Pesach is not discussing the difference between the idea and the event. The Pesach is simply giving over the concept of what tumah we're referring to. If we're making a distinction between the idea and the event, we must know something above and beyond what a Pesach could possibly give us. So it's already clear that this pasuk is not meant to be the real source. It's meant to be an application of a given idea. You see? So the Rosh points this out. He says, and because of this, we ask the next question. Notice, because to some extent we're involved in subterfuge here. We're pretending that we're attempting to learn out the halacha. So before we go back to the essence of the din, and we say, look, I mean, it's not really knowable from the pasuk. We want to see the consistency across the board of this din and try to see whether, let's pretend for a moment we really do know it from the Pesach. Would it work? Now, the way that we just explained it was that one Mandiyama has the Pesach occurring in Pesach, and the other Mandiyama has the Pesach occurring in Nazirut. But that means that each one is satisfied that that Makar would be applicable to the other case, which is certainly true. If it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so then you can learn one out from the other. If it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's also not Nogea, the difference in when I found out or when the event happened. If that's the case, then I ask the following, but obviously it's not the case, and the following question is idiotic when we find out what is the case. But again, since we're engaged in this process, let me ask the following question and pretend that I can take it seriously. Given that everything that you're thinking is true, how do you explain, says the Gemara, the two, Hodetanya, Hamotse Mate Mushkav L'Rochuva Shel Derech. Somebody finds now a mate, this mate was a Tumat HaTahom mate. And it was Mushkav, it was lying across the entire road, such that anybody who walked on the road would have definitely passed over this mate and become Tumah, Tomei B'Tumat Ohel. So it says over there that where you're talking about truma, so then you're tummy. When you're talking about a nazir or an isa pesach, so then you're tahor. Now, obviously, this boils down to the same question as saying, what is the difference between finding out something afterwards and finding out something before? Because when it comes to truma, by definition, it's before. It can't be after. You're saying, you ate truma betuma. Yeah, okay, so now I got a big shaila. Rebbe, I ate something betuma. What's the halacha? I mean, I ate truma betuma. What's the halacha? You shouldn't have done it. You're a bad boy. Am I tomei now? Sure, you walked over a mate. Okay, but when I'm coming with the Pesach, I'm coming with the Nazir, I say, what do I do? Well, were you tomei while you were a Nazir? So then you should have to redo it. Clearly, if we're making a difference between the case of the Nazir and the Pesach, we're saying redoing. Yeah, were you tomei when you brought your Pesach? You should bring a Pesach Sheni. Or maybe not, being as at the time it was unknowable. There could be an afkamina between tomei and tomei, you see? But why are we asking this question? As the Rosh says, this question boils down to that question. Why does the Mishnah say kodem giluach la'achar giluach? Is exactly the question. Why truma and why not truma? And yes, Pesach and Nazir. You see, it's so cute. Come on, guys. It's exactly the same deal. In other words, by truma, there's something different because there's never an ex post facto. It's irrelevant ex post facto. And by Nazir and Pesach, it is relevant ex post facto. So we could have just turned around, as the Rosh said, and looked at the Mishnah and said, "Listen, the Mishnah says it depends on before tiglach or after tiglach." You're right. We could have. We're showing you that just in terms of the application, is no, don't even think about it. You haven't addressed the issue. If I can derive, as we're learning here, Pesach from Nazir, and I can derive Nazir from Pesach, because each one is learning, Rebbe Elazar and Reish Lakish apparently are learning one from the other. Which, by the way, in Masechet Pesachim, as Tosfos points out, is not the case. Over there, each one is bringing half of the explanation of Tumat Adam. One brings it for Nazir, one brings it for Pesach. But that's true. At the end of the sugya, where we recognize that it's just a question of where does Tumat HaTahom apply? So then, Enochinami, we're bringing two psukim of application. We understand at the end that we never meant to really learn it out of here. We just meant to apply it here, you see? So this Gemara is not inconsistent, the way Tosfos claims, with the Gemara in Pesachim. It's just that this is the pre-Limud, and there's the post-Limud. So here we're pretending we can learn it out. You learn it out, so learn it out to Truma too. You learn it out, so learn it out to whether it's before Giluach or after Giluach. Only at the end does the Gemara say, well, it didn't really mean, obviously, to learn it out. I meant to apply it. Therefore, answers the Gemara, Ella, Tumat HaTahom, Gemara Gemirila. Obviously, the concept of Tumat HaTahom has to be Ahalacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Now, the Shaila is, we're looking for psukim that indicate to us the cases where it's applicable. So there, it's very logical that the cases, of course, that we come up with are the cases of an application to something that occurred in the past. And that's Pesach and Nazir. Okay, so it's very, very, very clear now, very beautiful, what it is that we've gotten to over here. Now, the question is, at this point, and again, the Gemara always attempts to do things through subterfuge, by bringing a question and then letting you see that that question's in the Mishnah. It doesn't, because that's, remember, the whole Derech of Torah and the whole Derech of science. To take an event, use the event to force you to form a theory that is broad enough to include that event plus other events. It doesn't sit back like Aristotle did and think of theories and then, you know, make sure that you apply it to the real world. So it's exactly the same way over here, and that's the whole Derech of Shas. Therefore, the Gemara needs now, what's the next thing that we understand theoretically needs to be addressed? What needs to be addressed is the difference between an event or the idea of an event, correct? Because that's the difference that the Gemara has made. In order for us to understand how that interrelates with Tumat HaTahom, and would it make a difference where it doesn't apply to Tumat HaTahom, we raise the following issue. What's beautiful about the way we raise the issue, and it's ingenious, is that we managed to use that additional information that the Mishnah put in to confuse us, which is that it uses gilach or lo gilach instead of bringing the carbon, and therefore it's clearly going according to Reb Eliezer, and therefore involves also a further complication when it says soter, that it means soter shiva, that it means soter shloshim. It puts all of that together so that we can see how all of that information interrelates. So what happens, very innocently, we first established the Mishnah is going like Reb Eliezer, okay? Now, we have no idea what we're being led into over here, establishing that fact. So the Mishnah says, okay, it says, imat shelo gilach, well, matana, who would be the one who would tell us about gilach or lo gilach? That must be on Reb Yochanan. It's got to be Reb Eliezer. So because Reb Eliezer is the only one who holds the omar tiglach ad ma'akevet, according to him, indeed, the relevant issue of have you completed your nazirut or not is what? The haircut. But even if you brought your korbanot, you didn't bring your haircut, you're still in the middle of your nezirut, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore that would be the salient moment. According to the Rabbanan, why would we ever mention a haircut? If you brought your korban, you did your haircut 3 years later, from the time that you brought your korban, you were already not a nazir, and therefore it would be a little funny for the Mishnah to mention haircuts. It would be irrelevant, not lawful. Okay, so it's clearly going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, again, purely innocently, comes along Rami Bar Chama, and without explaining very well what he's asking, and we're going to go into a discovery session of what Rami Bar Chama really means, Rami Bar Chama asks, what is the relationship between Tuma and Yediyah? Nitma betoch melot. So a guy actually became Tuma, and it doesn't matter whether it's Tuma at home, regular Tuma, I'm not dealing with the Tuma at home issue specifically. I'm interested in the relationship between when you find out about something and when it occurred. So someone was Nitma betoch melot, but it was Nodalo la'achar melot. Now, in truth, the difference between toch melot and achar melot is really relevant only according to Rabbi Eliezer. This is what he really means to ask. Do we treat it as a Tuma la'achar melot and require Shiva, which is Rabbi Eliezer's halacha earlier, or do we treat it as if it was betoch melot and you say sir the entire time? That's the question. But we don't quite grab the full meaning of what it is that he wants to get to, Rami Bar Chama. So what would be the din? Bater yediya azlinan v'yediya achar meloti. So do we say that in terms of the halacha of stira, it's the moment that you found out about something that forces you to respond halachically? You found out achar melot, din in shiva. Or no, or maybe is it considered to be that we go according to the actual event? I mean, normally, if I hadn't seen this Mishnah, normally I would have said, what kind of question is that? I mean, it's just a matter of when an event occurred. But now that I've already seen, very suspiciously, indications in our Mishnah that there's a major difference between when an event occurs and when I find out about an event, and that was benogea tumata tahom, I have to question that general yesod. Forget about tumata tahom. What indeed is the halakhic definition of an event? When I find out about it, or when I know now that it occurred in the past? So now, my question is, says the Gemara, and this now is an attempt, really, to get to an understanding of what Rami Bar Chama really wanted and how our Mishnah is explained in light of what it is that Rami Bar Chama raised. So says the Gemara, Lemai, what exactly were we talking about? Let me start. We're talking about the din of stira. What type of stira are we referring to over here? Again, we're not going to explain exactly what that means until a few lines later. But we understand that now that we've said that it's going like Rabbi Eliezer, we've got to work out what the stira over here is. Omar Rava says, Rava, well, look at the Mishnah. Did you notice a redundancy in the Mishnah? You started off a Mishnah saying, those are shigilach v'nodalo. So that means the Mishnah is already telling you that the halacha of describing a difference between Tumi Yedua and Tumat Tahom is only where nodalo le'achar agiluach. Right? Clear. So then it isn't really necessary for me to tell you, achalogilach, imachalogilach, all of that is extra. So think about what it means. Imachalogilach, binkachu, binkach, soter, whether it's tumah yedua, whether it's tumah datahom, even though you find out afterwards, now I know what you're going to tell me. Wait a minute, what is afterwards? Afterwards doesn't have to mean, I mean, after or before is in terms of the giluach, but you're still not telling me whether it's achar melot or not. That's what you're going to tell me. Question here is Achar Malot, and you're bringing me a raya from Achar Giluach. Aha, says Rava. That's very true, but I already know the part about pre and post Giluach from the opening words of the Mishnah. So what's the point of going on and saying Ve'im Ad? What's the point there, huh? I'll tell you. So now look, well, Echidani, what do you understand in the Mishnah? Idid Yadale B'toch Malot. What are we referring to? We're referring to the case where you found out B'toch Malot versus Le'achar Malot. Oh, come on, man, I know that already from the opening words of the Mishnah. Post-Giluach, pre-Giluach, if you want to keep it simple. Obviously, what the Mishnah is doing is it's getting more subtle by repeating this thing. It's coming to tell me something I would not have known had I just read the first part. And what would I not have known? I would not have known Rami Bar Chama's question. Malot versus Giluach. Now, that you haven't gotten into yet. Here is where the Mishnah wants to get into that question. So, what do I need to know that for? I have all that information. That's a normal case of a guy who became Tomei during his Nizirut. The first part of the Mishnah clarifies that as long as I find out about it, betoch the Nizirut itself, of course it's soter. Elalav, the additional information the Mishnah is coming to address exactly this question of Rami Bar Chama. And it's talking about that I found out la'achar melot, except that I haven't done the Giluah. Shema mina. So you see from here that even Le'achar Melot, the halacha is that it's soter. Ah, but you'll say, this is all part of the conversation. In other words, we're pretending that we're asking questions and giving answers, but that's a conversational. Ah, you'll say, this is the way to read it. Ah, you'll say, but you haven't really addressed the question. Because, I mean, think about it. What was he really asking? What he was really asking was kulo soter or shiva soter. Obviously, he wasn't asking whether there's stira. He was asking what type of stira. Meaning, I'll leave it to Reb Eliezer, where we have this nafkamina of shiva versus the kol. When it says soter, it's something that's all very clear, is it? So is it shiva soter or kulo soter? But according to whom would that question be? Ah, we know. I mean, Laman, even in the Rabbanan, and of course the Rabbanan don't make any nafkamina of when you found out about something anyway. It's always soter kulo. The only one who believes that it makes a nafkamina is Reb Eliezer. Hey, what an amazing coincidence. We just found out that our mission is going according to Reb Eliezer. Gee whiz! And now that we know that the mission is going according to Reb Eliezer, and the Mishnah is making this distinction, we're being pushed into a corner. So look now, looky, looky. So we're going to Ela Reb Eliezer. Aren't you going to tell me, well, I mean, Reb Eliezer already said, after Melot, it's only Sota Shiva. Yes, that's true. And now let's zero in the meaning of the question. Of course he said that. But he said that when the event took place, Achamalot, for God's sake, right? You became Tamei Achamalot before Giluach, and now it's only source of Shiva. But how about where you only found out about it, Achamalot, but the event occurred during the Malot? That was Rami Bar Choma's question. Now you understand, and now let me get back and tell you what it is that I'm learning out of the Mishnah. So there I say to you that, of course, Hanimiliki Nitma Achamalot. Here, Hailif Neimalotu. So maybe we should just view this as, forget about when you found out. Isn't what's important the event? Oh, Dilma, maybe in fact that's not what's important. Maybe this is different because I found out about it afterwards. At last, we've led you through by holding your hand through the entire logical steps that were necessary to arrive at an understanding of Rami Bar Choma and an understanding of what Rava was trying to say for the mission. We immediately grasped what Rami Bar Choma was asking and said, well, here's your raya. Well, we need a little help. Okay, so and now we're at it. Umina. Okay, now you're ready to see what the raya was. Great. We have said Benkachu Benkach Soter Veloka Miflake. Did we not just say that it's going Aliba to Reb Eliezer? We did. Did we not say that it would be Soter? And we made no distinction about what type of stira, right? So that means we didn't say whether he was Nitma Kodem the Malot, he was Nitma Acher Malot. We spoke about the din of Yediyah. That's all. We didn't speak about the din of the Tumah. What does that prove to you? That means that it's only going to be Soter Shivas Yomim. It's only because you found out about it. The Nafkamina will only be whether it was Tumata Tahom or whether it's Tumah Yeduah. But in terms of when you found out, that's what's important, is when you found out. So it turns out that this Mishnah introduces two extremely important new ideas. One is that when it comes to how to deal with something ex post facto, your knowledge of the event, the time of the knowledge of the event is critical, of the event. And secondly, that knowledge is going to be impacted by whether the event was knowable at the time that it occurred. And if it wasn't knowable, it's completely irrelevant. If it was knowable, it's partially relevant. It's relevant only in terms of what it meant at the time that you found out. So now we see we have an extremely subtle Mishnah that is coming to tell me brand new ideas that change our whole concept of human existence, only in terms of this strange little halacha that's the Gan Ozer v'Pesach. Imagine that Richie was even considering sleeping through such a thing. I mean, you're walking out of here a changed man, am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
You have to be careful where I step.
You know what Forrest Gump says. Yeah, sure. From this point forward.
Right.
That's the Lagabi, the question of Truma. Can he eat Truma? No, we just said he's Lagabi Truma, he's possible. Right. This forces you into a post-classical era. It's just that nobody learns Nazir. That's why they had so much trouble. If all those guys that had learned Nazir had gone into physics, we would have been much more ahead by now.
What if he had touched Truma before? And now he finds out he's doing
it. Those are Shilas that are actually brought up in Pesach. Okay, so continues now the Gemara with the details of this halacha of Sofek. We spoke about a case, Lagabi Truma, where he was mutzi and made to his mutter l'rach bashal derech, which said for truma his tummy, benozir and bas a pesach his tahor, and it's talking about a mate of tumat atahom. And we didn't discuss the details, but the truth is there's some interesting details that need to be taken into consideration because they involve the normal din of Suffolk Tumas. In other words, as far as the Truma is concerned, where Tumat Tatahom is irrelevant, we're dealing with the classical issues of Suffolk Tuma. And there, Legabi, those classical issues, the Braita adds pieces that we didn't bother telling you before, and that is as follows. Bamed, Devarim Amorim, where do we say that you definitely must have become Tumi Legabi Truma? That Shematza Oshalem, the body was whole. Ava meshubar o mefurak. If, however, the remains were broken into different spots, so then, I mean, even though the body may be from head to toe spread across the entire street, it doesn't mean that you necessarily walked over a place that was tumah, because you may easily have walked dafk in a place where there was no tumah. So then, afilu imakom lavor chashinat shema bein prakim abar. You may have walked between various parts of the remains and therefore not become tummy. However, bekever, and obviously this doesn't mean literally a kever, because then it couldn't be tumat tahom. If someone had buried this mate, then it's not tumat tahom, because somebody knew about it, the guy who buried him. We don't assume he buried himself. And therefore, the bekever over here would mean in a situation like a kever, in other words, the body fell into a hole of some kind, and was then covered without being covered inside the hole, so it's like a rock fell on top of the hole, so now there's a kever there. So in that case, the kever is mitzarfo, because now it's like a container that it creates tumah across the entire road, and then even if the actual remains are in pieces, but the entire place is tumah if you walked over it. Furthermore, even if the remains were in pieces, the only time that we consider that you might have just happened to walk between a place that isn't tumah is where you are an upright human being. So if you're upright, your form factor. Maybe factor, I don't know. But the form factor in terms of the space that you're taking up is very limited. So it's very easy for a person who's standing upright, walking on his feet, to pass within a very limited, half a foot. He may have walked over without becoming tummy. But if you're riding, so then your legs are out, and you're bent over on an animal, your form factor is immense. I mean, you're taking a couple of feet. Over there, we have no chashash whatsoever that you could have walked by without being bent. Or if you're carrying something heavy and you're bent over, you're obviously not standing straight up. So in other words, if you're not just in a position where it's reasonable to say you could have threaded your way between the parts of the mate, so then this is irrelevant whether it's in pieces or not. So where do we say that it makes an afkamina b'mahalech barag lav, where you're walking upright? Aval ta'un, if you're carrying a load and therefore you're bent over, or rachub, or you're riding on an animal, or you're riding a bicycle. In those cases, tamei, lefisha mahalev baraglav, efshar lo shelo yigav, v'shelo yasif, v'shelo yahil. But if you're ta'un or rachuf, then somehow or other you must have become tamei. Even if there wasn't the kever to be mitzarev, even if it remains that you're right below the surface, for somehow or other you would have come in touch with his tumah, at least with oil. I mean, it might even have been nogea and mesit. Ah, now when does this appear that there's an afkamina between truma and these other halachas? Bamed devar mamurim, bitumat ha-tahum. But if you're talking about a tumah yedua, then we treat the Pesach and the Nazir exactly the way that we treat the truma. And at this point, you'll have to bring another carbon Pesach, or you'll have to keep your nazirut again. And therefore, shloshtam tumeim v'ezohi tumat atom. What does define this tumat atom? Kol she'in makira echad b'sof ha'olam. Makira echad b'sof ha'olam, ein zo tumat atom. Hayatamun b'tevin o b'tzorot. And what we mean by knowledge is knowledgeability. So therefore, if the mate is hidden, and covered, even covered perhaps in something loose, like he's covered b'tevin that may have blown over, or b'tzorot that fell over him, so now there's loose stones.
Or the elephant guy.
In all of these cases, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly the case. Harezer tumata tahom. So in all these cases, that's a tumata. Oh, I thought you meant that guy, the Iceland guy, the guy that died, obviously. I thought that's what you're referring to. You're referring to the elephant guy yesterday. So over there, it's indeed not knowable. But if a person is underwater by Amim, or it's just dark in the Ma'ara, or b'nikikei ha-slaim, it's just you don't see it obvious, but it's exposed. It's just that there's rocks around him and so on. That's not called tumat atahom. Ain't it tumat atahom? And furthermore, lo amru tumat atahom ela lemeit bilvad. This halakha of tumat atahom would only be relevant, therefore, and the Rambam learns, therefore, where someone died a natural death. If he was murdered, then the murderer knows about him. And therefore, by definition, will have to be choshesh that if he was murdered, even maybe the guy walked away before he breathed his last, but that's not called tumat hatom. It's actually machlokes Rambam Raivin how to learn this. Most of the Rishonim think that it just means the mate, but it's not nogeya tumat hatom when it comes to sheretz or to zivot. In other words, it's only a special halacha, but if it's something that you didn't know at the time or wasn't knowable and was discovered only afterwards in terms of tumat sheretz, that would not make any nafkamina in terms of your Korban Pesach. Obviously, it makes no nafkamina in terms of your Nazirut, because Nazirut is not affected by Zivas. And, Nazir. Shigilach, v'nondalo shurtameh, im tuma yidua soter, v'im tuma ta'omino soter. Imad shalo gilach, benkach soter. Ketzad, yarad v'tvol b'ma'ara, v'nimtza meitzaf api ha'ma'ara tameh, nimtza meshuka b'karka ma'ara, Yorad la'aker tahor, li'tayer mitumat me tameh. Shechazkata me tameh, shechazkata tahor tahor, shiraglayim ledavar. You know any mili? Omer Abelazad Amak Rebech Yamut met alav, bepeta pito. Ma ze alav? Chuberetho. Reish Lakish omer, Omer Akra ki yiyet tameh lenefesh o bederach rechoka, compares tameh lenefesh to derech. Ki derech? Ma derech begalui? Afko begalui. Im at shelo gilach, man tan omer Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Eliezeri, di omer tiglach ad me'akevet. Boy, Rami Bar Chama, nitma betoch malod v'nodal o le'achar malod mal. Bater yidi azlinan v'yidi achar maloti o lo. Ulamar. L'mista? Omer Rabba Tashma. Im at shelo gilach, benkach u'benkach soter. So now I ask you, echidami, idit yadala betoch malot ratzich le'meymar. We know that already anyway for the first part of the Mishnah. Elo lav le'achar malot. Shmamina? Wait a minute, what do you mean Shmamina? Dain tiboy lecha. Kulo soter or shiva soter? Wasn't that part of the question? According to whom? Emilam l'rabonan, it's always kulo soter, right? So pshita kulo soter. Il Rebbe Eliezer, isn't that the whole point of Rebbe Eliezer? That kolachar malot shiva soter? It's only the point, says the Gemara Melchanimina, nitma achar malot. V'hail if name alotu, or perhaps indeed Shani Akhar Yediya Akhar Maloti, and that was in fact the question of Rami Bar Chama in the first place. Umina, and that's exactly the point now that we've shown that the mission is going a little bit early. Ezer, Katani Benkach U Benkach Soter Veloka Miflage of the moment of the Yediya versus the Tuma, apparently if it's the same, if the Yediya is afterwards, it's the equivalent of Nitma and the Akhar Malot. Fine. Tana Rava, Hamotze meit mutal rochba shel derech, litrumat amei ben hazev hazev pesach tohor. Bameh, dvorim yom umrim shein lo makom lavor, ava yesh lo makom lavor, af litrumat tohor. Bameh, dvorim yom umrim shematz or shalem ava mishubar mufurak afilu in makom lavor, chashin et shema ben prakim ava. Ubekever, afilu mishubar mufurak tamei ben shikever mitzarfo. Bameh, dvorim yom umrim that ezenaf kemina mishubar mufurak vimalach barak lach. אבל טעון או רחוף תמי לפי שמלך ברגליו אפשר לו שלא ייגע ושלא יסיד ושלא יאיר. בטעון או רחוף אי אפשר שלא ייגע ושלא יסיד ושלא יאיר. באמת דברים אמורים בתומת התהום, אבל תומה ידועה שלושתם תמיים, וזוהי תומת התהום, כל שאין מכירה אחת בסוף העולם. מכירה אחת בסוף העולם אין זה תומת התהום. היה תמון בטבן או בצרורות, הרי זה תומת התהום. בימים ובאפילה ובנקיקי הסלעים, אין זה תומת התאום, ולא אמרו תומת התאום, אלא למת בלבד.